The following podcast contains advertising. To access an ad-free version of the Lawfare podcast, become a material supporter of Lawfare at patreon.com/lawfare. That's patreon.com/lawfare. Also, check out Lawfare's other podcast offerings, Rational Security, Chatter, Lawfare No Bull, and The Aftermath.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And what this case shows is that solving the attribution problem on technical grounds doesn't solve the attribution problem, because there's a public element to attribution. Part of the reason, part of the importance for attribution is to justify countermeasures and other measures taken in response to a cyber attack or cyber exploitation. And that involves public justification. And public justification involves evidence and credibility and trust. And different audiences are going to have different levels of trust about what Jim Comey says. So the answer to your question depends on what audience you're talking about, who are you trying to convince, and why. I'm not sure how important it is for us to provide more evidence for any countermeasures we take in North Korea. North Korea is not going to have a lot of defenders. If this were countermeasures taken in Russia or China, we might have to do a hell of a lot more.
I'm Cody Poplin. And this is the Lawfare Podcast, January 10th, 2015. That was Jack Goldsmith you just heard, Harvard Law professor and co-founder of Lawfare. This week, Ben and Jack sat down in sunny Palo Alto to discuss what we know about the Sony Pictures cyber attack, the FBI's response, and the lingering questions about the credibility of the U.S. government's claim that indeed it was North Korea behind the attack. They explore the trade-offs inherent in explaining or proving the government's attribution claims, and whether or not the FBI should do so if it will tip their hand to the hackers planning future attacks. If technical capabilities cannot solve the public element of the attribution problem, how far should the government go in producing evidence regarding its claims? It's the Lawfare Podcast, episode number 105, The Sony Attack and the Future of Cyber Attribution.
So let's start by backing up a few days and go through the original attribution of the Sony attack to North Korea and why it was controversial. Can you just sort of lay out what the FBI said and why people objected to it?
Yeah, the FBI issued a statement. It was a written statement, and it basically said that they had looked at the malware that was used to delete the information on the Sony servers, and that malware had characteristics of malware previously used by North Koreans in other attacks. That was the main piece of information. They also said that the infrastructure used by the North Koreans by the people who hacked Sony was identical or very similar to the infrastructure used by North Koreans in prior attacks. They didn't say what the infrastructure was. The problem with those analyses, as many people pointed out, was that it's possible for people to have spoofed that malware to make it look like it was coming from North Korea, because the FBI wasn't the only one that had access to that, to those characteristics. That was one problem with that information. Another problem with the information was it was just a statement by the FBI. There was no real evidence provided. And then security firms started coming out with alternate hypotheses, speculating that there may have been insiders involved, offering evidence for reasons why it may have been an insider job rather than a job from someone in North Korea. And on the whole, there just wasn't any real hard concrete evidence pointing to North Korea.
Okay, so I want to distinguish between two questions. One is whether the FBI has publicly proven and made its case. And the second is whether they've proven it sufficiently that you believe it. And I, speaking personally, I read that stuff, and I said, yeah, but come on, the Bureau's case is actually still pretty persuasive, even though it certainly wouldn't stand up in court. I never doubted, despite all the criticisms, that actually at the end of the day it was North Korea or somebody working on behalf of North Korea. And my question is, to you, did you have the same reaction, or did you read this stuff and say, wow, gee, maybe North Korea didn't really do it?
Well, first let me ask you, why didn't you doubt it?
Well, so for two reasons. One is that, and we'll come to what Comey said yesterday later, but one is I actually find it hard to believe that the guardians of peace, or whatever they are, there aren't that many people in the world who have a great incentive to shill on behalf of, or hack on behalf of North Korea as a cause, right? And I sort of think if it's one thing if you're Edward Snowden and you steal a lot of information and you do it, or Chelsea Manning, and you do it on behalf of some, you know, ostensibly noble or cause you really believe in. But nobody really believes in the cause of Kim Jong-un.
And but that might have been the perfect cover if you were someone who wanted to cause Saudi destruction. It might have been the perfect cover to send the authorities on the wrong down the wrong path.
Right, might have been, and yet it struck me as much more likely that a paranoid, crazy regime that, you know, does things like kidnapping people and dragging them to North Korea and, you know, all sorts of various crazy shenanigans had gotten fixated on this particular movie and done something like this. So that was reason number one. It was just a sort of assessment of motive. But reason number two was that I always suspected that the Bureau was, in fact, had a lot more information than it was revealing, and that it was kind of revealing the headlines of those components of its case that it could talk about publicly. And that, I take it the tone of your question suggests that you're trying to get to the fact that there needs to be trust. And I accept that. There was a certain level, you know, when Jim Comey stands up and releases a statement that says, hey, you know, I'm real confident in this, that does carry weight with me that it may not carry with certain security firms.
So we'll get to that in a second. You asked me about my initial reaction. I didn't, when I read that statement, my first thought, I didn't actually think, okay, that's successful attribution or not. I didn't know. But my first reaction, and I wrote this immediately on the blog, was this isn't going to be enough information. That the information they've given might have been spoofed by someone else, and at a minimum, that's what everyone's going to say. And sure enough, that's what people started saying. So my first reaction was I don't believe the FBI would put out a statement with this confidence unless they had a lot more information. I knew that if there were a lot more information, they weren't going to be revealing it. But I also immediately thought, this isn't going to be enough. This isn't going to convince people. And sure enough, it didn't convince people.
Okay, so that brings us to yesterday. The FBI director caught in the lobster trap of, you've released some information, it gets questioned, now you have to defend the information that you've released, goes out at Fordham and makes a more substantial statement. Saying what?
He basically said three things. First of all, he put his personal credibility on the line. Comey, the first thing he said was, there's not much in life that I have high confidence about, but I have very high confidence about this attribution, as does the entire intelligence community. So it wasn't just an anonymous FBI statement. It's the director of the FBI putting his personal credibility on the line.
And just to be clear, when he says the entire intelligence community, that seems to me coded reference to NSA, right?
Among other entities. It might be CIA, who might have human assets in North Korea. I'm sure it's the entire intelligence community, if something of this importance.
So you think that what does it incorporate? It incorporates the forensic cybersecurity evidence. It also incorporates whatever human intelligence CIA may have from the North Korean regime, if any, and it incorporates whatever signals intelligence NSA may capture, as well as the forensic cyber stuff, if they have coverage of Kim Jong-un's phone or you know, the guys in whatever hotel in China are running North Korean cyber operations, right?
Yes, at least those things, yes. I mean, you know, we have a massive intelligence community that comes to these issues, especially in North Korea, where I think we have pretty good coverage, at least on technical stuff, that comes to these issues from a variety of perspectives. And I'm sure when they made this attribution that they used all of those resources. Not just the cyber resources.
Okay. So what else did he say?
So the first thing he did was put his credibility on the line. The second thing he did was to say, we red-teamed this. As soon as we made the case internally, and then we had a group of critics come in and try to make the case that we were wrong, and we were still convinced afterwards. That was the second thing he said. Then the third thing he said was, and this was the real piece of information that he revealed, the new piece of evidence, so-called evidence, is that when the hackers were sending messages, they would usually sign on to Facebook through proxy servers, therefore trying to hide their identity wherever they were. But a few times they got, and this is what Comey's language, sloppy. They connected directly from servers that could only have been in North Korea. And we could see the IP addresses used. This is Comey I'm quoting. We could see that the IP addresses being used to post and to send the emails were coming from IPs that were exclusively used by North Koreans. It was a mistake by them that we haven't told you about before. There was a very clear indication of who was doing this. And then he added, they shut it off very quickly once they realized the mistake, but not before we knew where it was coming from.
Okay.
So that's the big new piece of evidence.
And how do you assess it? Is it gonna close the discussion?
It's not gonna close the discussion, because first of all, I'm convinced. I mean, I think that first of all, Comey putting his credibility on the line, providing this evidence after all the criticism coming out and doubling down and saying that they're certain, that's enough for me. But it doesn't matter for me. The question is, will the general public, will the world, will different relevant audiences be convinced? I do think this is important new information, but it's going to suffer from two kinds of problems. People are going to say, you don't know who was sitting at that computer in North Korea, even if we assume you're right that it came from a North Korean computer. You haven't provided us evidence of which entity was sitting at that computer. And they're also going to say, look, you've said things before. There's no real evidence here. It's just you making vague, conclusory statements, Jim Comey. And, you know, until we see the actual evidence that proves what you just said to be true, we're not going to believe you. Look at the Iraq WMD claim. This is just like that. That's what people are going to say.
So is that right? I mean, you say you're convinced, but people are going to say this, right? So at what level do we now have... Is the answer we have attribution if you trust Jim Comey, and we don't have attribution if you don't trust Jim Comey?
So this raises an important point. The government has been saying in recent years, we have solved the attribution problem. They've been signaling to the public that they have come up with technical and other intelligence means to be able to tell the origins and identity of people who initiate significant cyber attacks and cyber exploitations. And what this case shows is that solving the attribution problem on technical grounds doesn't solve the attribution problem, because there's a public element to attribution. Part of the reason, part of the importance for attribution is to justify countermeasures and other measures taken in response to a cyber attack or cyber exploitation. And that involves public justification. And public justification involves evidence and credibility and trust. And different audiences are going to have different levels of trust about what Jim Comey says. So the answer to your question depends on what audience you're talking about, who are you trying to convince, and why. I'm not sure how important it is for us to provide more evidence for any countermeasures we take in North Korea. North Korea is not going to have a lot of defenders. If this were countermeasures taken in Russia or China, we might have to do a hell of a lot more for public justification if we were going to start a more serious conflict. And indeed, if our countermeasures in North Korea led to an escalated situation, there might be a demand for us to justify the countermeasures, to show us the proof, the public might say.
Okay, so I want to play the skeptic here and say this does not make attribution different from any other intelligence activity. There are all kinds of things, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq being an example of a failed one, but all sorts of, you know, the basis for the claims that there are Russian troops in Ukraine is various intelligence and, you know, news reporting, and it eventually relies, the Russians deny it, and it eventually relies on the fact that the people asserting it have more credibility than the people denying it. Yes, it's very damaging when you have an Iraq WMD situation. But look at Iran. I mean, you know, the world is making claims about Iran's nuclear program that Iran denies, and the basis for those claims are intelligence and largely based on, you know, technical and human collections that you can't discuss. And the when you talk about taking action against Iran, whether it's on, you know, sanctions or at the far end military action, you're doing exactly the same thing, which is to say you're stacking up the combination of what you can release and your credibility, and you're saying we get more points than they do and therefore support our action. Why is this any different from that? Why isn't the answer Jim Comey either has the credibility to say these things, in which case we should believe them, obviously with the big grain of salt that, you know, believing somebody, he could be in error, he could be theoretically lying, though I don't think Jim Comey's a liar. It could be a lot of things. You keep that in mind, but you make your assessment just like you do with any other intelligence-based foreign policy action.
So I agree with you at some level. So much of what we know about what goes on in the world and about attribution in a whole slew of contexts depends on the conclusory assertions of government officials citing intelligence officials. There's some truth to that. I think cyber is different for a couple of reasons. One, with the Ukraine example, we can see things happening on the ground. We see a Russian presence of sorts in eastern Ukraine. There's physical evidence of a Russian presence in eastern Ukraine and other corroborating pieces of evidence that other third parties can see and look to and talk about that supports the intelligence claims about Russian troops being there. That's one notion. Let me back up and say, you're absolutely right. The attribution problem is not limited to cyber. It pervades all sorts of intelligence claims about what other nations are doing and why and how and where. The other thing, though, is that cyber is particularly invisible. There's no way to, it's very hard for the public, if not impossible for the public, to have any public physical confirmation. It's very hard, and the third parties are that might come in and credibly say, yes, there's evidence or no, there isn't evidence, are these security firms who look at this, who understand there might be other ways to do this, and who frankly have an incentive to be very skeptical about what the government says because it increases their profile. And so and that becomes part of the public dialogue. That becomes reported by the mainstream press and others. And then that itself feeds into the credibility of what public officials say. But let me go back. The important point to ask ourselves is, who cares about attribution? You're right. The government said this. Why does it even matter whether there's attribution? It only really, whether there's publicly proved attribution, it only really matters to the extent that there comes some public context where the government needs to justify actions taken. And especially if the actions taken are in secret, or even if they're public sanctions, if they're not too severe, no one's going to care. This is only going to matter in a situation where, for example, you premise an entire war and send lots of troops to a particular area based on a factual assumption that the public demands proof for because there's some very heavy overt commitment of military forces. That doesn't seem like it's on the table here. This seems like a lower level skirmish. So I don't think that attribution is going to be all that salient ultimately in the public debate and public justification. What is important here, if I could take us to another topic, is has the government revealed too much information? Comey, it's pretty clear based on this speech and other things that have been said in the press, he had to pull this new piece of information out of the intelligence community. I'm sure he had to fight to get that information out.
Okay, so wait, let's actually go through and say, imagine you're a cyber operator at NSA. What have you lost as a result of both the written statement and Comey's speech yesterday? What's been given up about what our capabilities are?
Okay, before I get to that, I'll answer that. The natural posture of an intelligence officer is to never
give up
ever
anything.
Say anything about any method used to glean intelligence.
Right.
Ever. And for very good reason. Any piece of, any little hint that's disclosed publicly to justify the action to the American people is disclosed publicly to the enemy who can then, or the adversary who can then take.
And by the way, just on this point, I mean, I think it is really hard to describe to people who have never worked in intelligence why that's not an insane posture. Because, I mean, contrast it with a different analytical shop, right, that gathers information, processes it, and then puts it out there for people to use, like Lawfare, for example. And Lawfare, all of our methods are almost entirely public. You know, if just security, if Ryan Goodman's listening to this, like there is nothing we can tell about our methods that is a secret to Ryan or, you know, and so there's this sort of sense that people have, particularly I think people in the press, that secret methods are somehow, you know, illegitimate.
I agree. I mean, you hear this all the time when journalists are revealing new surveillance techniques. They always say, it doesn't matter that we're revealing the technique because, of course, the North Koreans knew that we were spying on them. So they must have taken every precaution to prevent us from spying on them. So revealing a particular technique can't be new information.
And this case is actually a really good example of that not being true, because they got sloppy, in Comey's words, and they didn't do what any decent hacker would do, which is always go through your proxy servers, right? Yes. Don't ever go directly.
Well, let's back up. I mean, the first statement even indicated that there were certain signatures in North Korean attacks from the past that were used again here. I guarantee you they won't, whatever those signatures were, they won't use them again. That's the first point. The second point, that what Comey revealed yesterday is, and let me back up and say, Comey said, you know, he implied there's a cost to revealing this. And because I want to inform the American people, but I don't want to tip off our enemies too much about how we watch what they're doing. So it's quite clear that they won't make this mistake again, the mistake of not always using the proxy server. And in fact, they'll be super careful about that in the future. And I'm sure that when this discussion was being had inside the intelligence community and the government, the question was, how much is this going to hurt us next time when they're not hacking Sony but hacking the Defense Department? And this trade-off is always present, the trade-off of revealing sources and methods now to justify legitimately a claim that's being made, an attribution or other type of intelligence claim, versus what are we losing down the road? And the intelligence community tends to always worry about the next step, what they're losing down the road. And so I would doubt if we're going to see a whole lot more public evidence because they've already revealed information that can be used in the future, that will be used in the future by adversaries to hide tracks.
Okay, so I can make the case that Comey here hits the sweet mean. That is, he releases enough information to be able to stake his credibility on this in a fashion that's certainly not laughable, won't convince everybody, but it will convince the average American, yep. And doesn't give up too much, though it certainly has operational costs. I can also make the argument that Comey is the worst of both worlds here. He gave up a lot of operational information in order to not release enough information to convince anybody who wasn't already willing to believe that this is the North Koreans. Is this a model of the way the FBI should behave in this circumstance, or a model of the way the FBI shouldn't behave in this circumstance?
Well, I think it's a model of the way they have to behave, whether they should or shouldn't. I tend to think that Comey hit the sweet spot. I think that the most important part of the statement yesterday was not the revelation about the proxy servers.
Yeah, it's the credibility.
It was Jim Comey.
Yeah.
It was Jim Comey in the face of 2 weeks of public criticism coming out and saying, thank you, that was very helpful feedback. We've looked at it all again, and I'm telling you, based on my personal credibility and based on a hell of a lot of intelligence that I can't tell you about, that I have very high confidence in this attribution. That was the important statement yesterday, not this new little fact. And the new fact that they gave us about the poor use of the proxy server, I don't think they would have revealed even that much, but for the fact that North Koreans themselves realized that they made a mistake and probably would not have done that again anyway. So I'm sure the argument to the intelligence analysts was, look, they're already aware of this problem, so you're not giving up much by revealing this. So I think the important statement was Comey's statement. It was Comey's credibility statement, not the new fact. As for the model for the FBI going forward, I just think it's going to be a case-by-case basis. It's going to depend on what the claim is, what type of evidence they have, what they think they can and can't reveal without losing future access. I think that this one of the most important elements, to go back to something I said a second ago about the Sony event and the public justification of it, is the realization that even if you have confident attribution in private, that doesn't begin to answer the problem of public justification. And that's the real issue. And that's what you asked me about. Was this a good model? I think they're basically working and they're grinding their way through that and figuring out as they go along.
So I think there's two other important lessons here. One of them is so obvious that it probably needs to be stated, which is that it really matters who the FBI director is. Right? This would be a completely different question if we had, as a society, say the same questions about the credibility and integrity of Jim Comey to make big picture intelligence judgments like this than we did, say, about the Bush administration after the fiasco of the Iraq WMD question. It really matters, in other words, how much confidence you have in the sort of gestalt big picture judgments of your intelligence community leadership. And the second is, which is probably more directed at the cybersecurity community than at the government, is that I think the cyber community was too fixated on the technical forensics of the original statement and wasn't asking the question, what other intelligence that they're not talking about goes into this judgment? When the FBI director says, I have huge confidence in this, and so does the rest of the intelligence community, that says to me there is signals intelligence or humans intelligence corroborating it. And the very sophisticated forensic capability of the cybersecurity community is not always accompanied by a similar sophistication about other government capabilities and about how to read bureaucratic statements. And I think there's probably maybe a greater need for caution on that side. I think a lot of people in that community were too quick to confuse this statement by itself is not adequate evidence with, I don't believe this is true.
Right. I agree. Many of the criticisms tended not to consider the additional and independent means of intelligence, of corroboration the government might have, but that they're never going to talk about in public, ever. But some people were careful. They were just saying, not case, not proved.
Right.
That this technical evidence just doesn't prove the case. And some people in the technical community, Bruce Schneier, said, who urged the government to say more, which Comey basically responded to yesterday, also said, we're going to have to get used to less because this is an area where the government is just not going to be able to reveal a whole lot about the basis for its attributions.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Lawfare Podcast is produced in cooperation with the Brookings Institution. Our music is performed by Sophia Yan. And as always, please spread the word and promote the Lawfare Podcast via your social networks, Twitter, Facebook, email, Instagram, Kick, and any other messaging service you use. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.